bad at starting.
It's hard when it starts, isn't it?
And so, well, you do it really naturally. When I start conversations in real life, but I never start conversations on topics.
Do you want me to try and start?
No, I should start. It's on me.
So great, so great, yeah, yeah.
We could.
Yeah, we could, yeah, we could stay here.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode. I hope you're all having great weeks with lots of good, good things. Jack, how about you? How's your week been?
I have had a mostly good week. I had a bit of a bad week when we first went to record this episode, Neil.
So we should put in a disclaimer here. If we sound like we're going a little bit crazy, is that actually this is deja vu for us because we have recorded this episode once already and we had a few technical hiccups and decided that actually it was better that we came back and tried again rather than put you through what we ended up with.
I don't know what the end effect's going to be. Are we going to be like more happy and more excited, or are we going to be really frustrated and tired that we've already made the same jokes and we're just repeating them but faking it?
I was mainly hoping that it will sound like we're a bit more prepared because we've spoken about everything once, but I'm actually worried that we'll just sound as uninformed and not ready as we did last time.
I don't think I'll ever sound prepared, so whatever we do now, I'm still going to come across as amateur and meandering. Okay. And I'm okay with that.
Fine, well, I let you know, let's carry on and we'll see how we get on. So Jack, what's your good thing of the week?
Well, telling you for the first time, my good thing is that someone from the internet past reached out and messaged me on Twitter. So someone I hadn't spoken to in 15 internet years, which is the same as normal years, but they take place.
That's good. Yeah, fine. We're following.
Well, I guess time feels maybe longer on... Okay, so time doesn't feel longer on the internet, but when you have spoken to someone 15 years ago and you were internet friends with them, I guess you speak to people quite often when you're kind of messaging them on chat or the instant messenger MSN days. And then to stop talking to them and then speak to them again suddenly out of the blue 15 years later, that maybe feels like a longer period of time.
So who was this person? How did you know each other before?
So I can't tell you his name because he doesn't use his real name on the internet.
Okay.
He used to, but not anymore. Something has changed in the 15 years. But he reached out to me on Twitter and he said, "Hey, do you remember when we used to work on a website together?" It was a Digimon website, which is...
Of course it was.
Which is a website about how digital monsters and humans coexist and the idea of like humans in a digital world existing at the same time, which is actually quite fitting.
Wait, so it's so that you didn't actually know this person in person 15 years ago. It's always been an internet-based...
So, purely internet-based. He lives in Wales.
Oh, okay. See, I didn't actually get that last time we recorded this, so I'm glad I now asked.
Yeah, no, it wasn't just like Dave from down the road.
Well, that's what I thought. I was like, it's weird that you kind of like didn't really keep in touch, but you're fine.
Yeah, no, so we worked on this Digimon website. He lived like in Wales. I lived in London. We spoke a lot on MSN, which I guess our audience probably remember. But anyone under the age of 20 will be like, what? What is that? It's WhatsApp on your computer only. He reached out. It was really nice. We spoke. We seem to have a lot in common still. We both care about left-wing politics and the environment and digital stuff. And he's very nice and he's funny on Twitter. So everything you need for a friend in the future.
Tick, tick, tick.
it was really nice to have someone like who you couldn't get in contact with. Sometimes you think, you know, when you think back and you think of people that you used to know and you think, yeah, I wonder what they're up to now. And I was like, I'm never going to see this guy again. But apparently I can.
But didn't you say as well that you stalked back on his Twitter feed and saw that he was tweeting to his following to say that he'd found you and he was asking everyone if he should then get in contact?
Yeah, that's right. And everyone said yes, thankfully. But one person said, watch out as you find his problematic favourites, which I guess is like a reference to the meme now that anyone you like on the internet, if you look at them long enough, you'll find something about them which you kind of think is terrible. But I don't think I've got any of those on the internet. I keep them all hidden deep inside. So you could deny that, Neil.
I think you're very open and there's no skeletons in the closet. I mean, I've known you for, 13 years and I've not found more than like maybe a foot.
I'm glad that you remembered it's 13 years because a couple of episodes ago you were like...
Pretty sure I said like 8.
6 days, 5 days. So that was my week. What about you?
Yours sounds like you've had a really great week. My week's been fine, as I mentioned when we last recorded, which is actually probably good why we're back here doing this again, because last time I was just coming out of a really bad, like, chest infection, which they thought was going into pneumonia. So I didn't sound overly lively in the last episode.
It was literally the worst. I mean, not you were fine. You were great. But like the coughing every like 30 seconds. Was
we
really
did have to have hand signals that for when I was about to cough and we needed to pause. But no, anyway, my good week was all actually about Queer Eye and the new series of Queer Eye being released, season 3. It's not even a guilty pleasure. It is something I fully own, that I absolutely love this TV series. And if you haven't watched it, you have to watch it. You know, a lot of hopefully people have seen it. And it's about this group of gay men who go around and find these heroes, that they call them. And they help kind of revamp their lives through style, through grooming, through design in their home. And it's just a beautiful series. So it used to be out, and it used to be called Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, and it was five gay guys helping straight guys. And that show was amazing and very groundbreaking for its time. Also quite savage, because they were very much like, oh, you're straight, you're terrible, look at your dress sense. Whereas I just think this new season, the new revamp show, and why it's so great, is that it's just so nice. Like, we've spoken about this, that it is nice people doing nice things for other nice people who deserve niceness. And it's just a really, like, light-hearted but meaningful show, and I'm really happy that it's out. And it was eight episodes I think, and I'm 8 for 8, and I cried at every single one, and I don't regret it.
I know you're 8 for 8 because I invited you to watch the new series just before it came out at my house, and by the time we kind of finished discussing the details, you'd already watched all 8 episodes.
I just and do you know what, I've also then watched at least 3 of them another 3 times. I couldn't stop. Like, there's one episode where they help these sisters, the Joneses sisters, who run a barbecue shack, and you know, they kind of came out of retirement to this and reopened the barbecue shack to help one of them's daughter go to college, and you know, so they kind of, it's all about work and all about helping her go through college. They don't look up, you know, they weren't looking after themselves, and it is just the best episode. And there's one of the sisters has a missing front tooth from an accident when she was a kid. So she's super self-conscious about her smile, and you can see her constantly looking down or covering her mouth. And she is obviously someone that really loves smiling. So there's the segment, spoiler alert, where they take her to get her tooth fixed. And it is the most heart-wrenching scene. And when she sees her like teeth fixed and she can smile again, she breaks down. And I was a state.
You broke down.
Oh, I broke down. I wept like a child. And it was just so beautiful. And then another bit where they help them, they have their own barbecue sauce for this shack, and it's like legendary in the local area. And they help them finally take it to the next step and get it bulk made and packaged so they can sell it. And yeah, it's just fantastic.
You know, I tried to buy that barbecue sauce for this episode.
But you can't get it in the UK yet. I think it's like still limited stocks. But like, I think, yeah, next time in the States, and definitely need to try and go and get some.
It's 100% true. And also, did you know barbecue sauce is mainly ketchup?
That's actually the one thing I remember thinking when I saw it, being like, how did I not know that barbecue sauce is essentially like ketchup with spices and brown sugar?
Yeah, no one knows. Every time I say that to them, they're like, what? It's just ketchup.
And I feel like I like barbecue sauce even more now because I know it's also ketchup.
I don't like barbecue sauce.
Well, you're probably one of the only people. It's amazing. But yeah, so that's my favourite thing of the week 2 weeks ago. the new series of Queer Eye is out, and it's amazing. If you haven't watched it, watch it, love it, and follow them all on social media because they're brilliant.
Neil, you have our good thing for the week. What do you have?
So I'm going to talk about something fashion related. So for anyone new to the podcast and new to you and me, I work in the fashion industry. That's my job. I work in content marketing, and I want to show you this amazing brand that I discovered probably end of last year-ish, called Community Clothing.
Community Clothing.
Community Clothing. And Jack, how much do you know about the manufacturing processes for clothing?
So I know that clothes are manufactured.
Yep, good start.
I know that we manufacture some clothes in the UK and some clothes abroad, some of the clothes that are sold here. I know that there are times when there's more demand because some like to go in time with the spring, summer, autumn, winter, seasonal things.
Yeah.
And that is all I know about the manufacture of clothing.
Okay, cool. So to go with your first point on things made in Britain, because that's actually really a part of what makes community clothing so great, is that Britain, you know, for many, many years was super famous for its manufacturing industries for things like clothing. And Northampton was, you know, the birthplace of great shoes. And, you know, with many, many industries, what's happened over the years is that production has moved abroad, whether that's Portugal or for a lot of them, it's China. And actually, a lot of like, you know, the kind of really famous British brands, if you look at it, have actually all moved production to other countries. This is obviously due to cheaper overheads, cheaper labor, and it can be because of, even though they can get cheaper quality, they can still get the good quality fabrics, so they're able to mass produce it cheaper. And then that can have some negative effects. And it means that there's a loss of industry within the country, within the country. And so what I love about Community Clothing, it's a brand that's owned by a British businessman designer called Patrick Grant. He owns two brands, Norton & Son and eTorts. And they're two Savile Row and men's tailoring brands. And basically, a lot of their production was based out of a factory up in Blackburn. And what he realised was that there was huge downtimes in the factories because there was such a lack of demand now, because so much manufacturing had moved overseas. It meant that outside of like the key production periods for the seasons, as you mentioned, all of these, the factory was running below capacity. And what that meant was that then there was not the work to pay the people. So all of these amazing, talented craftsmen and women were on 0 hours contracts. So their jobs were at risk. And it meant that we were slowly losing this expertise in the country. So what he did was he bought one of the factories.
Cool.
That he, you know, again, it was, you know, which is what I think is so amazing, is that, you know, he put up, I think he, from what I've heard, he put up a lot of his own collateral to help purchase this factory. And he created this new brand called Community Clothing. And the idea is that it's seasonless collections. So they produce these really awesome, like, kind of wardrobe staples that allow them to, and they're produced during the down periods in the factories. So it means that there's constantly a demand for the product. And so not only has it brought manufacturing of the clothing back into the UK, which meant the quality of the craftsmanship is extremely high, they're also using British fabrics as well. And by doing that and using the downtime, they're able to keep the costs down. So I think the stat's probably even old now. It's on their website, but they've been around for longer than that stat's been up. That I think they've already added over 13,000 hours back into the factory and into other British factories in producing these clothes. And at the end of the day, the clothes are also just amazing quality. You know, you've got things like your Harrington jackets and Breton tops and like denim jeans, T-shirts, just all the things that everyone, you know, needs. And by creating seasonless clothes like that, and also in like streamlined versions, so it's not everything's unisex, they, apart from the jeans, where they obviously cut from men and women's bodies, but the t-shirts just range from bigger to smaller sizes than normal. It means that they're not wasting time in the redesign and product development for different sizes, so they don't have to discount, they don't need to go into sale, because they're actually just able to keep the cost down. I mean, I think the socks that I got were, I bought for like, it was like £2.50, and they're the comfiest socks, and they're made with like British fabrics in the Blackburn factory.
Okay, so what you're saying is Community Clothing, the company, which is a website, and also clothes designers, yep, is also a factory.
Yeah.
But it also uses other factories' downtimes as well, or is it all inside that one factory?
I believe it was, don't quote me actually, that's why I should have done a bit more research, especially since we're recording this for the second time, that it was. It started in different factories, but then Patrick purchased Blackburn. So I think most of the products that are the few different bits I own as well all say made in Blackburn. So I assume it's in that one main factory. But it's, I think to your point of like the different parts of it, the company is essentially a social enterprise.
Okay, so it's a social enterprise and it always produces seasonless clothing or all-season clothing?
Yeah, no, seasonless is fine. So it's like, you know, it does its shorts, but it doesn't, they're available all year round. It has its jeans, its jumpers, its t-shirts, but it's just as in like, they're not like, you know, a crazy print trend that's never, you know, going to be dead by next year. It's all things that kind of never go out of style.
So I can be that guy who wears shorts in the winter with a fresh pair of December bought shorts.
Yeah, completely, completely. And I think that's what it means by seasonless. It's not just season as in like autumn, winter, spring, summer. It's seasonless as in like it's not trend. It's these things, you know, everyone was always going to need their indigo denim. People always need white tees, grey tees, black tees. And jackets in classic colours. So it means that there's always a need for them. And so, yeah, I think that's just why it's a really great thing, a good thing that I wanted everyone to know about, because I think it's really important in a culture now that is so built on fast fashion and, you know, low quality for low cost, which means that you can buy more. It's really important to focus on these type of brands that are actually making a difference, not just in like people, but in industry and in quality of garment.
Yeah, and I guess it's also so important to get people off 0-hour contracts. I mean, there are some people that they work for, obviously, but when you're talking about high quality trained people who are doing factory work, making these garments, who will then don't have a job for a few months out of the year or don't have much of an income, and then they come back in and get to move to a consistent load of work, that is a really positive effect, a good effect for those workers.
Yeah, completely. And I think that's why I'm so impressed with the initiative in its entirety and with Patrick, in that it was, you know, obviously it's a business and obviously it needs to make money, but it's why it doesn't have physical stores, because obviously the cost of having a physical store, you know, and having lots, I think it maybe has one area now, but like there's a cost to having those stores, which, you know, increases overhead, which is why you need to increase price. Whereas for him, it's about saving these artisans and these skilled workers, because if they can't get that work, they're going to go off and do other jobs. And then that means that those skills are not going to be passed on. It's not going to be a job that someone else is going to want to be trained in, because there's no job security. And it means that those skills are going to be lost in this country, and that would be a real shame, because, you know, the clothes and product that have come out of Britain for so many years has always been like world class.
So you've mentioned that despite being able to get people off 0-hour contracts, make in Britain, they're able to keep the prices quite low.
Yep.
Now I am going to test you on whether you think the prices are acceptable for the items of clothing I'm going to say. So I'm going to say an item of clothing. I want you to say how much you would pay for that item of clothing, and then I will tell you whether community clothing is cheaper or more expensive.
Okay. Although this is bearing in mind that considering what I do, I probably spend more on my items of clothing than most people do.
Yeah, okay. You don't need to give the disclaimer that you are terrible and you spend far too much money on clothes. Okay?
I don't. I invest in quality, not quantity.
You've also got quantity. A plain tote bag in khaki.
What's it made of? Because this is important. Khaki is a colour, it's not a fabric.
I mean, I guess it's cotton. Let me. It's 9.5 ounces of cotton twill. And if you're curious on the size, it's 49 centimetres by 57.
But 100% cotton.
100% cotton twill.
This is the thing. When you go and you buy products, like, you know, as much as like there are certain man-made fibres that can be quality, like, it's important to look at the fabrications, and 100% cotton is better than 100% polyester. I would say I would pay for that tote £10 to £15, I think. Maybe depends on how nice it is, maybe more.
Well,
£10 to £15.
I'd say it's a nice tote as far as totes go, but community clothing, that will set you back £20.
Okay. Yeah, and I think that's fine, because I think that's, you know, you're buying, we're not talking about one of those totes you get free when you buy something from a shop, like you're buying I don't want to say bag for life because it makes you think of a supermarket, but it's like, you know, it is a quality, durable accessory that you're going to keep with you.
Okay, moving on to the next one. A unisex sweatshirt, grey contrast, rib. I don't know what rib means.
Probably like the cuffs and collar.
Oh, yeah, it has a rib collar, cuffs and hem.
Told ya.
It's premium thickness. It's 100% cotton loop back. And there's a front V stitching below the collar.
It's very common in sports sweatshirts. I would say £60.
£60 for one of those? Well, you're in luck because Community Clothing is selling it for £39.00.
Yeah, see, that's really good. I've definitely paid £60 for like a good quality sweatshirt.
Okay, I'm going to look at women's wear for one last one.
Oh, I'm not going to have a clue on this one.
So, a woman's stripe, Breton, navy, crew neck.
Stripe, Breton, crew neck, cotton again?
It's 100% cotton jersey, 300 grams per square metre. It's knitted in Leicester, but it's sewn and finished in Blackburn.
There we go, there we go. I would say... Oh, I don't know. Maybe 45, 50?
45, 50 would be paying too much because it's only £35
there
at Community Clothing. Well, so now we know. Don't get your totes from Community Clothing, but for all your other essentials, you're yeah. sorted.
But yeah, so I mean, that's the thing. As you can see, like it is, you are paying more than if you shop at certain high street retailers that shall not be named. And I also fully appreciate that there is, you know, a privilege to being able to, be able to spend more on your clothing. But I think it's worth that consideration because what you're doing is there are so many other things happening when you purchase from them. It is keeping an industry alive in this country. It is keeping skilled workers in jobs. And it is using sourced and supplied fabrics, which means that you're also getting quality and longevity in what you're buying. And I think that's the thing, is that overall you end up spending the same. I've had from them, I've had for, you know, a good 9 months now, and you wouldn't see any, there's no difference in the quality of it. Whereas a lot of other fast fashion, you'd, after a couple of washes, you've seen that the shape is going a little bit, or it goes out of shape by the end of the first day of wearing. So yeah, that's my good thing of the week.
And you should also note that the logo is particularly dope.
The logo is actually great. And I remember thinking about you when I first saw the logo, and that is because the logo looks like Pac-Man.
Pac-Men's.
Yeah, it is. It's just a really cool logo, and you can get it on some of the graphic tees. I remember thinking about that when I saw it, that you'd love it. So I fully recommend everyone goes and checks them out. Their website's communityclothing.co.uk. I think it's co.co.uk, and Community Clothing, you can find them on social as well. Check them out, learn more. I think it's well worth it.
Good thing.
Good thing. Okay, Jack, so we know that there are lots of other good news stories happening all the time that people miss out on. So I'm giving you 30 seconds to get through as many as you can, and then I'm going to pick one that I deem worthy of further discussion. Are you ready?
I mean, I'm ready to do the list, but I'm not ready to give you full creative control over what you deem worthy. That seems...
I mean, that... This is what happened. This is the segment. You'll get it. I mean, you can pick when it's your turn. I have control. So, are you ready? I've opened up a calculator, not a stopwatch. So, give me a second.
No, just put 30 minus one and keep pushing equals till it comes.
Oh my God, that's genius. Okay, ready?
Yes, I am ready to fulfill my purpose as reader.
Good.
And I think I'm going to be good this week because it's
right,
the second
don't stumble. Time. Yeah, you should be better, but don't be too quick. 3, 2, 1. Go.
Giving MDMA to old mice had led to increased sociability similar to that of young mice. HPV vaccination in Scotland had led to huge drops in cervical cancer rates. Sitting or walking in a calming place near nature is the best way to reduce stress. Kids in national parks are healthier and more prosperous. Tastiest basil ever has been made in a lab in America. Basil the herb. Increase in female representation in political TV shows has led to increased female political engagement. Housing with improved water and sanitation has doubled in sub-Saharan Africa. Dubstep music by Skrillex has been improved.
Stop. All right.
Skrillex. Yeah. That is.
I only know that he did a song with Justin Bieber once.
But like you heard someone say his name, because I've only ever seen it written down.
Yeah, Skrillex. Yeah, it's Skrillex.
Okay. Now everyone listening is going to be like
Skrillex.
Yeah, obviously, it's Skrillex.
Yeah, I know.
Right. So, there are your choices.
Okay. So, I mean, I think that you set me up here because I think you know exactly which one I'm going to pick, Jack. Which one am I going to pick?
Neil, I think you might be interested in the tastiest basil.
Of course, I don't give a crap about tasty basil.
I think that's an amazing story. Like they made basil's already the best herb when it's fresh, not the dried stuff.
True.
And so improve it. You're going to pick increases in female representation in political TV shows has led to increased political interest by women.
That is 100% correct, because we all know that Neil loves
a strong female lead.
According to my Netflix suggested categories.
I want to be clear and just go back for a second. Strong female woman is a bad phrase. Strong female lead is a much better phrase.
Exactly. Yes, because we've discussed this before that you know, it's the problem where it's like, well, they make it out as if it's a different thing or like it's a one-off, and I'm like, all women are strong. It's just that you've chosen to pick it out into this like lead character trait for this drama. And I think it actually can paint a wrong picture, and it shouldn't be about a strong female lead as a thing. It's a story with a strong lead, or it's just a story about a character that goes through something. And the gender actually shouldn't be part of the issue. But still, having said that, I am a massive sucker for it.
You definitely have like a Netflix category.
Completely. No, well, that was it. Netflix actually suddenly suggested. It was like, because of your interest, and it was like suggested for Neil, and the category was strong female leads. And I was like, got my number.
Damn, that's impressive algorithming.
Yeah, I know. Well, I mean, it's not hard out of the room when I'm like, ooh, female lead, ooh, female lead, ooh, female lead. Like, yeah, so that's very comfortably. So cool. Tell me what. So it was increased female representation in political shows has led to an increase in women getting into politics.
So getting involved with politics. We're not necessarily saying, oh, the next one of these people who didn't care about politics is going to be the next president, but they are.
But they could.
They could. Yes. But in America, they are seeing that when they put more political TV shows on in prime time with leading female characters who are not just like representations of the secretary or any other kind of sexist tropes from the past, women watching that will get more engaged with the political process, whether that's looking up more articles or registering to vote or getting involved with their local Republican or Democratic party or even running for local governance in some form. All of that is the kind of evidence that they're talking about when they say getting more involved after having these primetime shows.
Oh, okay. So it's the increase in awareness and interest within the political sphere because they've seen like what it is for a woman to be involved there, and so then it makes it more
exactly.
For them.
It's, okay. It's that whole argument that people make, which is representation is useful and important, and we need to make sure people are represented. And this study has come along and said, in terms of women and politics, there is definitely evidence here, and it is important. And I think that's really important because it goes against the history of sort of neglect for women in American primetime TV shows. For example, in primetime TV shows between 1966 and 1996, only 34% of leading characters were female. So 50% of the country are female, 34% of leading characters in primetime were female. And that doesn't even go into the fact that a lot of those were old stereotypes and the women were playing either hypersexualized roles or diminutive roles or any of the kind of, well, we all know the stereotypes we'd expect to see. So it's like this study and this whole argument that representation is important, looking at the facts, looking at the statistics that we have, this is said, come on, we need to keep doing these things. Shows like The Good Wife or Madam Secretary or Scandal, Those shows are important. What they do are important. What choices the casting and the script writers and the director makes, those are important decisions, and we need to continue seeing more of this. And not just for women in politics, but for all kinds of areas where representation is needed.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking as you were saying it as well with the 34%, because that's before you then even get down into racial representation within that figure. Because then if, you know, if 34% is women, then that leaves 26% as, wait, not 26%, 66%. Math is not my forte.
Would you like, tell me the sums, I will do the maths.
What is the male representation if 34% is... I was trying so hard to do that in my head as I was talking, and I was like, I'm not there.
66, you got
it right. It is 66. Yeah. I said 26 for some reason, because I was thinking in my head about how 50% of the population is men.
Because then maths representation on the television.
I know, right? I'd be more into it. Because then that's the thing of, like, you know, you have, if men are 50% of the population and there's 66% of their representation on TV, but then it'd be really interesting to see, but what is the ethnic diversity of that representation? Because I bet you it is overwhelmingly white men. And so, yeah, I think representation is always a really important conversation. And I just think for something as important as politics, because, I mean, we've spoken about this before, and I also say about how I blame you for my involvement in interest in politics, because so many people were like, it's really hard to gain access to it and to be aware of it. So actually by having these shows where they're represented, and for something such an important subject of politics, for someone to then become interested in that sphere and want to get involved in it and be able to build their own opinion on it is super, super important.
Yeah, right? And it's like the way that we change our worlds. And so if we can get more people engaged, and this is one of those methods, and if we can get underrepresented groups both in TV and in the sphere they're talking about, politics and in our society, then we can really make changes. So this kind of study shows that the choices people are making, the representational argument has evidence, and it makes positive changes. And for me, that is a really good, good thing.
I was going to say something else, but that was just really well finished. So I was like, cool, play the music.
We've got time. You can come back in.
I was just going to be like, and those shows clearly deserved their Emmys. But no, you did that really well.
I think that would cheapen my work.
It would have.
Okay, Jack, we're running out of time.
But there are so many more good news stories to talk about.
Well, the fade-in music is on its way, so you need to get going.
Intellectually humble people tend to possess more knowledge. Dolphins are now clever enough to use sponges as tools to help them deal with climate change. Tasmanian devils are adapting to coexist with cancer. Virginia Tech researchers decide that kind of like universal language of bees. Dogs can smell empathy.
Show sway like a dashboard Lola.
This is the bit where I tell you to like, comment, and subscribe. But I've forgotten the bits I'm supposed to say.
You have to say. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of A Good Good Thing. If you like what you heard, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And then I'll come in and say, and leave us your messages of your good good things on the phone.